Amen. I'm going to invite Judah to come up with me today as we light our candles, our final candles for the Advent season. And I'm going to read a scripture for us as we do that. Okay. Final candle, the Christ candle, is the final culmination of the Advent wreath tradition. The Christ, the true light, has come into the world. He is the only begotten Son of the Father and Lord of our salvation. Though many have not recognized him or left him for other things in this world, we, his people, have seen his glory and praise the Father together with the Holy Spirit forever. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, tells us of Christ's true nature and mission. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Thanks, buddy. We're now going to go into our time of communion together, and I'll go ahead and invite the elders to come forward and to prepare. And as we do this on this wonderful Sunday evening before Christmas, there's something very appropriate about not only celebrating the birth of Christ, but also together with that, the death of Christ. Because he came to die. He was born to die for us. And through his death, he brought the light that was intended, the life and the light that was intended for this world. So it's very appropriate that we should think not only of the birth of Christ, but also of his death. And as you partake this evening, this Sunday night before Christmas, partake in faith that as you receive that bread and that wine into your body, you would be receiving not just the elements, but you'd be receiving Christ by faith. That is the goal. That is the point of why we do this, to remember why Jesus was born into this world and to commune with him by faith, to in fact experience the spiritual presence of Christ himself as he told us to continue celebrating this meal. It's because of the command of Christ himself that we celebrate this. It's the Lord's table. It's not our church's table. It's the Lord's table. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and a member of good standing in an evangelical church, you're welcome to participate with us, even if you're not a member here. And why do we take of communion like this on a regular basis as a church? Because of the command of Christ, for it was Christ himself who, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples saying, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he also took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink you all of it." We'll do as we have done in the past and call you up one by one. I'm going to say a prayer for us, and the elders will give you the elements family pod by family pod. Father, we thank you so much for sending Jesus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Thank you, Jesus, for your broken body and for your poured out blood, which was life and life to us, life abundant. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our passage this evening is John chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. It says this, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world. And the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." The message is simple tonight, my friends. The true light, the true light who gives light to everyone has come into the world. Now, in my household, it sometimes gets debated what type of light bulb is the best on the eyes. Is it the kind of whiter light, or is it the more yellow light? You know what I'm talking about? When you go to the Home Depot, now you have to choose between a spectrum of... But at the end of the day, they're all artificial lights, we might say, compared to maybe the sunlight. That's the best. That's the most natural light. Or maybe a firelight is also very natural and nice. But actually, even those are artificial lights. They are created lights, you know? That's why it says in Revelation that when you get to heaven, they won't need a flashlight or an LED or the light of the sun or the light of the moon, because you won't need a lamp, it says, or the sun, because the Lord God himself will be their what? Their light. And light is a symbol of revelation and of warmth and of knowledge and of salvation and of righteousness and holiness in the Bible. All those things that God himself stands for. So it says, the true light, who gives light to everyone, has come into the world. But the world did not know him. He came to his own people, and his own people did not receive him. If Christ were to come into our midst tonight, I mean, not as we think of him from Sunday school books, perhaps, but as he really is, would we receive him? Or would we be like those Jews of old and not even recognize him for who he is? It's a strange statement that John says, the world did not know him. Could they not have believed the miracles that he had done for them all of his life? Could they not believe the words of the gospel, which were straight from the Old Testament scriptures? I mean, had anyone read Isaiah 53? But aren't we the same so often, right? We're looking to so many things in this world right now. You're so distracted, and perhaps have your hope even set on something that is not legitimate, that you miss him. This whole Christmas could just pass by, and you miss him. You don't have one meaningful worship experience, not one personal moment with Jesus where you thank him for the gift of salvation, for being born in a stable, being laid in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Why did he go through all of that? It was for you. It was for you. I hope you do have a moment alone with him to thank him for doing all of that, right, for you once again. There are many things that can take your eyes away from Christ, but I would advise you to put your eyes on the light of the world, the true light, this Christmas season. What else are you looking at? What else is distracting you? If Christ is your light, four things happen. If Christ is your light, four things happen. Number one, you don't have to fear the dark. Are you scared of the dark? You don't have to be afraid of the dark. What do I mean by that? You don't have to be afraid of the dark things of this world. Depression, hatred, war, slander, broken relationships, sickness, even death. You do not have to be afraid of the dark when you have the light of Christ in your life. Do you have the light of Christ? Number two, you can walk in the light. What John says in 1 John, walk in the light. What does he mean by that? It means that it's sort of like the light is hitting you, yourself, first, before it hits anyone else. It means you can be honest about your sin. You can confess your sin. You can repent of your sin. And you can be renewed to walk in new holiness because of the light of Christ. The light of Christ is like, it kind of exposes you. You know, it exposes you. But actually, that's a good thing, because then you can be honest about your sin and you can confess it and you can be forgiven in Christ. Isn't that amazing? And you can walk in new holiness starting now. Number three, because Christ is your light, you can share the light with others, right? Knowing that it's the best of what's around. It's the exact thing that your hurting or broken friend needs, or that family member who is without Christ. It's exactly what they need. You can share the light of Christ with them. Don't wait. Don't wait. Amen? Don't wait. Number four, you can bask in the light. You remember being on vacation and you go to the beach and it's like the first chance you get to be out there and you lay on that lawn chair or whatever, maybe just on your towel in the sand and close your eyes and all that sun just hits you. It's warm, it hits all of your skin, and you're just sort of there soaking in that moment. Vitamin D, boom. You're just kind of soaking it in, right? That's what I want you to be like with the light of Christ tonight. Just soak it in. Just soak in His love, the gift, the free gift that He is. You know, He doesn't need you to do anything for Him. He doesn't need you. He wants you, but He doesn't need you. He doesn't need you to do anything for Him. He needs you to receive His love, and He wants you to love Him in return. He does want you to serve Him, but He doesn't need that. He could use anything He wants to, but we do have the joy of serving Him, don't we? You're laying there on the beach, not a care in the world. You just soak it in. You receive the love that Christ has for your soul tonight. Are you in a place where you can comprehend that, where you can do that, where you can receive that? I'm advising you to have a moment alone with Christ. Thank Him, but also just receive the love of Christ tonight and return it to Him in joyful worship. You won't worship. You won't even understand what worship is about if you don't first receive the love of Christ. John says we love because He first loved us. You can't worship, you can't give love, Christian love to others, unless you first receive the love of Christ for your own soul. We've been kind of talking about and thinking about the different candles together, all those different aspects of Christmas, and thinking through each one of those things. One of ours is a little low, it looks like. I think it's okay. But But the truth of the matter is that the witness of Bethlehem is gone. It's now a violent place if you were to go there that's surrounded by concrete walls, apparently. That's what I'm told. And the witness of the prophets has ended as well. Every prophecy before Christ pointed forward to him. Every prophecy after Christ pointed back to him. And as for any prophecy that points us not to the glory of Christ, I have no words, for God himself will be the judge. The prophecies have found their fulfillment. Look not to prophets for salvation. The witness of the shepherds has ceased. When these first worshipers and first ambassadors looked upon the Christ child lying in the manger, they couldn't help but to go out to the surrounding village and proclaim the good news. We would do well to follow their example. But don't look to the shepherds for salvation either. The witness of the angels is constant. And yet what have they more to say than what they have already said? They are messengers. The scripture says that even they long to look into the things pertaining to our salvation. No, the angels are not where it's at either. There is only one true light which gives light to everyone. And for those who have received him and trust in him alone for their salvation, his glory will be manifested to you, and you will shine his glory to others, even this Christmas. Remember, even though the world would try to sell you a number of artificial lights, there is only one true light of the world. The light that gives light to every man. The light of Christ. Oh, come, let us adore him.